Welcome to Talk Dizzy to Me, the show that brings you a comprehensive look into the complex field of dizziness. Now here are your hosts, vestibular physical therapist Dr. Abby Ross and Dr. Danielle Tolman.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's Talk Dizzy to Me. I'm Dr. Abby Ross, vestibular physical therapist and neuroclinical specialist with Dr. Danielle Tolman, also a vestibular physical therapist. And today, we have a super cool guest. I'm so excited because we've been pretty religiously stalking her on Instagram. Her handle is ThatDizzyGirl with 3 Z's. She's hilarious. She keeps it real. She's relatable. And she's here today to tell us all about her vestibular journey and hopefully help you, some of our listeners, along yours. So welcome, Christine Moyer, ThatDizzyGirl. I'm going to hand the baton off to you. Tell us a little bit about your journey. Where did it start? Why are you ThatDizzyGirl on Instagram? Let's start there.
First off, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for that introduction. That made me feel like super, super cool and fantastic.
You are cool.
Oh, thank you. Some days I don't feel like it. My vestibular journey is kind of a bunch of puzzle pieces that just created the perfect storm, as what my medical team calls it. It's a combination of physical symptoms, which included chronic ear infections, a deviated septum. I jumped into the deep end of a pool right before all of this really kicked off. Felt a lot of pain in my right ear. There was no visible damage done, but I do feel like there was an element of it that played into it. Additionally, I was with the rest of the world going through COVID, and it was a very complicated time as an educator and as a parent with virtual learning, and I was in person. I was in grad school, so working full-time, grad school, managing being a parent of a neurospicy kiddo, and then I ended up breaking off a 7-year relationship or an engagement, which was just absolutely emotionally devastating for both myself and my daughter. And so all of those things kind of caused this pressure cooker that just threw my nervous system off and kicked off my vestibular journey. And after that, 13 doctors in 13 days until being diagnosed with 3PD.
Which is a pretty intense thing to go through. I mean, you talked about that perfect culmination, that perfect storm, and you're absolutely right. There's a lot of elements there for everything to happen all at once. You know, that's hard to handle even without getting into this vestibular disorder. You know, that and seeing that many doctors in such a short amount of time too is one, impressive, but also a very similar journey for a lot of people who have to hop from clinician or provider to provider and try to just get an answer for what's going on. So, you know, at the beginning of that journey, can you talk a little bit about what that looked like from day one and how things started to gradually progress to where you are now?
So the first real symptom I got that I knew something was off, it wasn't the normal allergy, ear infection, vertigo. I was talking with a coworker at lunch and she was talking with her hands and the room started to move. And I said, "Can you put your hands down, please?" She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I don't think so." So after that, things really escalated quickly. I ended up bedridden very shortly after that with vertigo, right? I went to the hospital and they diagnosed me with vertigo, which is not a diagnosis. I had no idea that the vestibular world existed like it does. I just thought you go to an ENT, you go to neuro, you know, and all these people should know the answers, but they didn't. And that's why I ended up seeing so many doctors. And then once I figured out that there were specialists in the vestibular world, that's kind of when I shifted my focus to seeing specialists that knew the vestibular system. I don't know if I answered that question, did I?
No, you did. I mean, you bring up a really good point that, you know, people we would assume have knowledge of the vestibular system and working with vestibular patients don't always, like ENTs, right? They cover ear, nose, and throat. So you have ENTs that just focus on sinuses or just focus on the throat and vocal cords and swallowing and things like that. So not every ENT knows the vestibular system or wants to treat the vestibular system, but how should we know that as a patient? So that's a really good point to bring up of why we end up seeing multiple providers or multiple clinicians, because not everybody specializes in this small subset. And it's not until you have something wrong with your vestibular system that you realize you have a vestibular system. And starting to dig through the weeds of that can be a little daunting at first. Did you have to do a lot of your own research to figure out who to go to and how to focus on those clinicians?
Absolutely. I originally was trusting the clinicians that I was seeing before understanding the vestibular system. I do believe they were trying to treat me with the best knowledge that they had, but it wasn't what I call vestibular literate. And that's when I went through kind of a spinning wheel of diagnoses. And I was diagnosed with vestibular migraine, and then it was Meniere's, and then it was vestibular migraine again, until I really was like, we're done here. We're going to go into the vestibular, you know, focus. And that's when I started searching the internet for doctors that had experience, certifications, education in the vestibular system. And I trusted my instincts a lot, and I really want to encourage people to do that. I went to a vestibular, or I should say a physical therapist, for my first round of VRT. And I just knew in my gut from what I had studied, from what I had read, that she was more focused on concussions and not what I was experiencing. And I found a new VRT. So trusting your instincts and knowing your body and doing your own research is so important, and advocating for yourself, which I learned a lot from my mom, who is a breast cancer survivor, and watching her advocate for herself and seek second and third opinions that saved her life. I saw a lot of that firsthand. And so I follow suit in that. And I do a lot of my own research, and I did find my team that I have now based on my own research.
Yeah, I think this is such a relatable point. It's very rare that there is someone in this world experiencing symptoms associated with vestibular dysfunction who has not been through the gamut of the medical field in terms of finding their right care team. And you had mentioned some of the red flags that you were seeing in medical providers, which pushed you to then seek another medical provider. Can you mention some of those?
So one of the physicians that I saw, he diagnosed me with vestibular migraine and prescribed 50 milligrams of amitriptyline. If you've ever heard or taken amitriptyline, you know that that is a lot. I was essentially overdosed, and I was hanging by a thread. I mean, the typical dose is, from what I understand, 5 to 10 milligrams to start out. So, you know, that was a red flag for me. In addition to that, after going to the hospital, being diagnosed with vertigo, they referred me to neurology. And the neurologist met with me and told me, you just need to smile more and you'll be fine. Like your mom here, look at her smile. You need to just smile more like her. I mean, and I'm literally in the darkest hole of my life, and I'm supposed to smile. I came to you for knowledge. You went to school for this, and you're telling me to smile more? If that was the answer, homie, I'd be smiling all day, but it's not. I'm here because I need your help. So those red flags, I immediately was like, you're done, and on to the next.
I think you bring up a good point in trusting your gut. This is the one thing that I stress to my patients over and over again is I don't know how you feel. I cannot, you know, conceptualize or objectively measure what you're feeling internally. And if you know that you know your body and you know yourself and something's not jiving right with the person that you're working with, then you need to find another person to work with. Advocating for yourself, unfortunately, is something that everybody in the vestibular community has to do because you're right. There's so many clinicians out there that think that this is just in your head or you're young, you look healthy. What could possibly be going wrong? And I think that a lot of people who are young and they look healthy, they get discounted a lot walking into doctor's offices because, you know, what could possibly be going on with them? Right? So we don't get listened to as often as we should. And I think that's the key thing that people should look for in a clinician is that somebody who will listen, somebody who's going to take what you're saying, process it, and then try to find a way to work with you based on your subjective reports. Somebody that just tells you you need to smile more definitely needs to start find a different type of person to work with. You know, that's really, really tough. And I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Thank you. It was not easy, but it did teach me that just because someone has doctor in front of their name doesn't mean they know all the answers. It also taught me that when I go into an appointment to meet a new doctor, I'm interviewing them just as much as they are interviewing me. And I now make sure I verbalize to them, look, I have lived in this body for 38 years. I know when something isn't right. I need to know that you are going to hear me when I tell you I need to change course. Something isn't making sense in my body. Something feels off. And I need to know that you're going to listen and you're going to treat it accordingly. I can't just have you throwing medicines at me, pills at me, whatever. I need you to listen. And that has really changed the game for me. I found a new primary care doctor that way, and she's been amazing. I mean, she's been incredible, but vocalizing that, you know, hey, this is a two-way relationship. I'm not here for you to just feed me stuff. I need you to listen first, please.
I love that. We have echoed this throughout multiple podcast episodes about how you really are. You become a team with your healthcare team. You are an active member of the team. You're the most important member of the team because, like Danny said, you know your body. We're relying on the information we're getting from you to change courses, to provide a different intervention, to refer elsewhere, whatever your journey requires. So eventually you found the right team, the team that works for you. You were diagnosed with a diagnosis that fits what's going on with you. Can you talk to us about your current working diagnosis and also what features of that diagnosis that you have or what brought your team to give you that diagnosis?
So I was diagnosed with 3PD. I'm not going to try and say it. I'll botch it every time. and it was wild because my team, they weren't all collaborating, but my neuro team and my vestibular rehab therapist, who I had been working with almost within the same week, came to the same conclusion that it was 3PD. Based on my symptoms, my improvement with VRT, trial of a bunch of different medications that didn't hit right, they came to that conclusion. They started me on an SSRI and we continued with VRT. And I really want to stress, this is so important, that your diagnosis is just the beginning of your journey. And you cannot go into vestibular therapy, do your session, and go home and expect things to get better. You have to put in the work. And I don't think that I have said that enough because I get so many messages and questions and they're like, well, I stopped my vestibular therapy 6 months ago. Are you doing it at home? Well, no, because I was better. Yeah, that's not how it works, girlfriend. You got to keep it going. So this is a lifetime diagnosis for me. And I'm learning that it is what we call in the vestibular world, the healing pie. It's a collective resource meshed up mess that you have to create for yourself to help continue your healing. And that is managing my anxiety, not getting overly excited about things, meditating, massage, VRT, exercise, 8 hours of sleep. All of these things combined are what is pushing my healing forward.
I was digging through your YouTube and your YouTube channel and all your stuff on Instagram, digesting all I could after I found your posts. And I loved all of your daily engagement and posts and how real you were about everything. But one thing I truly absolutely love is in your, there's like a 4-part series about your healing journey, but your description of vestibular physical therapy. And I love that you stress that this is meant to make you symptomatic, that is going to make you symptomatic, and that you have to keep going with it. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days, but it is meant to stimulate symptoms. And from that is where you build up from. And I appreciate that because you're right. A lot of patients come in thinking that just their time with us in the clinic or via telehealth is going to solve their problems. They don't have to put the work in at home. And that's where they're completely backwards on it. It's very counterintuitive, but the work happens at home. I know patients are doing their homework based on how they come in touch back with me, you know, once a week. Coming to meet with us to go through those exercises is to look at the dosage and make sure the dosage is correct, that they're still challenging enough without pushing you through this symptom threshold that makes you have these protracted symptoms. We're here to guide that rehab process and make sure that things are appropriately dosed for you in that time. But we have to constantly remind patients that it's supposed to be challenging. It's supposed to stimulate symptoms within a therapeutic threshold. And a lot of people back away from that because they think, well, why do I want to do something that's going to make me feel worse? But it's mm-hmm. only temporary. You'll have peaks and valleys, ups and downs throughout your therapy. But I love that you stress putting in the work because that's, I think, the hardest concept for people to understand and get on board with throughout this entire process.
Absolutely. I get messages from people and they're like, I went to my first VRT and I'm dizzy. I'm never going back. You can't do that. That's the purpose of it. It's just like if you did 50 push-ups and your muscles are sore after that, that's the point, you know, and you're pushing your vestibular system a little bit every time to give you, I'm blanking on the word here, tolerance. More tolerance each time. And so, yeah, it is going to make you dizzy. It's not a good time. It's going to pique your anxiety. But it's that is what it's supposed to do. So knowing that going in is probably going to help a lot because if you don't know, you're in for a surprise.
I do want to put an asterisk on this because there are patients that have really horrible experiences going through VRT with a clinician who doesn't understand the vestibular system and VRT therapy thoroughly. So a lot of times new clinicians or people who are trying to help their patients out the best that they can will overdose patients or try to fill in their half an hour, 45 minute or 60 minute sessions with as much exercise as they can, which overstimulates and puts that patient into that meltdown, flight or fight mode. So I will say with the right vestibular therapist who knows what they're doing, who can accurately dose and listen to the patient's symptoms and how they react to therapy is very important. So it's not that it's not no pain, no gain. It's not that, you know, just pushing through the dizzy, you make yourself the better you're going to feel. But going in with the understanding that you will stimulate symptoms, that this is a whole part of the treatment is very important. And I applaud you for mentioning that in a lot of your posts. I think that's really, really great. Abby, do you want to just quickly break down persistent postural perceptual dizziness and the diagnostic criteria? Because I think a lot of people listening might be like, well, what is 3PD and do I have it? So I was wondering if you'd break that down a little bit just to quickly go over that for our listeners.
Yes. And then before I forget, there's something else in your healing pie that I want to touch on that I think is super important. So if I forget after this, remind me to come back to it.
Okay. 3PD, I'll write it down.
Persistent postural perceptual dizziness. So there are specific diagnostic criteria to bring this diagnosis to the table. And there's really five pieces of this. I'm going to actually read it word for word so that I don't fumble anything. But the first part is that one or more symptoms of dizziness, unsteadiness, or non-spinning vertigo are present on most days for 3 months or more. So that would make it chronic. In your case, clearly you fall into that category. You were having symptoms for many months. And those symptoms last for a prolonged period of time. They can ebb and flow, you know, they can wax and wane, but primarily the symptoms are present throughout the entire day. They're pretty much there all the time, more days than not, more hours in the day than not. Would you fall into that category fully?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I, especially at the very beginning, all day, every day, and triggered even more by certain stimuli.
Yep. And that actually brings us to the next bullet point on diagnostic criteria. Persistent symptoms occur without specific provocation, but are exacerbated by three factors. And one is upright posture. So sitting upright, walking, things in upright positioning tend to feel worse in 3PD. Active or passive motion without regard to direction or position. So for example, things like perhaps riding as a passenger in a car might be more provoking. And then lastly, exposure to moving visual stimuli or complex visual patterns. So you had mentioned just watching your coworker move her hands while she was talking was particularly provoking. Are there any other situations that fall into those categories that you find triggering?
At the beginning, the grocery store was my nemesis. The people walking past me, the shelves on both sides, because you're normal pre-dizziness diagnosis, your instinct is to scan the shelves back and forth. I had to quickly learn that I had to walk down one side of the aisle, come back up the other side. The lighting, and if it's an especially super fun grocery store, they have the lighting in the freezer section that turns on when you walk past it. And that adds like a whole new element of surprise. And those, all of that stimuli, the noise, the colors, the people, everything, that really was so hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are all examples that we hear so often in people with this type of condition. So thank you for sharing that. The next piece of diagnostic criteria, the disorder is precipitated by conditions that cause vertigo, unsteadiness, dizziness, or problems with balance, including acute episodic or chronic vestibular syndromes, other neurologic or medical illnesses, or psychological distress. Again, you fall into that category. At the very beginning of this episode, you were listing stressful after stressful after stressful event, which certainly could have impacted the onset of this diagnosis. And then fourth, symptoms cause significant distress or functional impairment. So these symptoms cause changes in your quality of life. They cause changes in your ability to participate in daily activities, mom life, work life, whatever it is. And then lastly, symptoms are not better accounted for by another disease or disorder. So there are a lot of overlap sometimes in vestibular diagnoses. And in this case, most vestibular diagnoses with diagnostic criteria end with this catch-all phrase that they're not better accounted for by another diagnosis. And this is the best fitting diagnosis for you. So with that being said, we talked about some triggers and how you were coping with them, specifically things like the grocery store. In terms of journey, one of the biggest questions that patients ask, usually in the evaluation, is, will I feel like my normal self again? Will I get back to who I was before feeling this way? And how long is it going to take? Can you give us your take on that type of question? Where are you at in your journey now, would you say? And also, how long has it taken you to really learn your body and get to this point?
So I still ask myself that question on a regular basis. It's taken me almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in February next year. To get to where I am right now. that journey feels so fast, but I moved so slow. I did grocery pickup. I didn't want to go in anywhere, restaurants, anything. But because I am a mom, and because I have a mom that has experienced panic attacks and anxiety, it prohibited me from essentially becoming homebound. I would slowly push myself to go into like Target, just the dollar section. Walk in, do a quick lap, get out. To prove to myself that I could still do it, but also again to push my vestibular system. What does normal look like for me now? I still have symptoms, but I have learned to adapt to those and create my own accommodations that allow me to live a relatively normal life. I work full time. I am a mom. You know, am I going to, you know, Disney riding roller coasters tomorrow? Absolutely not. That's not happening. But, you know, I go to off-Broadway shows with my kid. I go and watch her do her sports. I go outside and play at the playground. I have not been to the movie theater yet. We're probably going to do the Taylor Swift thing. I am not so sure about that. But, you know, it gets better. And I think as you progress, or for me at least, I told my VRT this last week because she's trying to make me graduate, y'all. And I don't want to. And she's like, listen, you know, like she's trying to like push me out the door. And I'm like, I'm not leaving. So, and she's like, you've been here for 2 years, you know? So I love her. I adore her. She is my hero. I'm not leaving. But she's like, you have everything you need to, you know, do this on your own. I was getting somewhere with that. And now I've lost my train of thought. She's, you know, she said, you have everything that you need. And the accommodations that you make for yourself. And I told her essentially the way I think about it now, like one of my things that I experience a lot is when I get out of the car after I put it in park and I open my door, I step out and like the ground is moving a little bit. Before, that would send me into a panic attack. And I, you know, that was over. We were going home. Now I just am like, remix. And I just keep going because it's just normalized inside of my system. I do still experience a lot of fatigue, and that is something that it wears on you because I don't feel like I have the energy that I used to, and I'm kind of in that Spoonie philosophy where I only have so much to give every day. But again, I'm just learning how to manage that. But I would say overall, I mean, yeah, I live a relatively normal life. I have my days, but hey, I'm not bedbound. I, you know, I'm not using a cane anymore, which is really humbling when you're in your 30s. I can drive and I work out, you know, so yeah, I would say so.
It's finding that new normal, not necessarily fighting to get back to completely 100% where you were before all this stuff happened, but embracing the gains that you've made since starting your journey and appreciating the things that you were able to get back, the quality of life that you have, and then continuing to look forward to the future. I love that you want to stay in vestibular therapy because you want to keep working. You're going to keep managing all of that. You're going to keep pushing and trying to find that new next level that you can get to. You know, I think the important thing for people who are starting, even just starting a vestibular journey, is just knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that this is not going to be the rest of your life. Things will get better, that things can get better, and that you will find and reach a place that you can function, you can do the things that you want to do. And sometimes you might find new things along the way. I mean, look at Alicia Wolf, you know, the Dizzy Cook. She had a completely different life pre-vestibular migraine in New York City. And now she has built a whole new life and community and things that she does based on how her journey has led her in that direction. So, you know, embracing the present and the now and looking at those small wins and celebrating them, I think is fantastic. Your positive outlook on everything, I think, is what has helped you along. I love your posts on social media that people relate to and maybe not having a great day in physical therapy or what to say to a doctor when they ask you a specific question. Like, I love these little snippets of what you might be thinking and feeling inside going through those everyday interactions, because I think they're so relatable. And I think a lot of people probably look at that and laugh, and laughing and finding the humor in things is important. I think it's very important.
Yeah, I believe that laughing, finding the positivity, finding the joy in the craziness, you know, it helps build that positive neuroplasticity. I was talking to my mom last night about when I was first going through real heavy symptoms. I went to pick up a toy off the ground that my daughter had left, and I just went boneless. Like, it was just, I crumpled on the floor. And I just remember her like looking over the coffee table and being like, "You good?" And I'm just laying there laughing, because honestly, at that point, like, what else can you do? I will say that there is a cycle of grieving that I am just now experiencing. And it is learning to grieve who you used to be and accepting where you are now and what your future looks like. So that is something I hadn't talked, or I hadn't heard anybody talk about that. I'm sure it has been talked about. It's just, maybe I wasn't in that phase yet where I was accepting that type of conversation and content, but it's definitely a really tough thing to battle with, is just accepting like, this is who I was and this is where I'm going. But like you said, I mean, it ends up being, you end up adapting and you end up creating new routines, new traditions. You know, one of the things that I did as a mom, because when I was first diagnosed, I mean, I was really limited to what I could do, and she needs me there. So how do I be a mom, a single mom, and make sure she still knows that I'm there for her, even though I'm not well? And it was essentially me creating a way to meet her where we both were. And one of the things I did was create movie premiere nights. And anytime a new movie came out on like Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, I would create a themed kind of buffet. And so we would have like a Peter Pan night, and I would make pizza, like the Stouffer's, you know, half pizza crust things. And I'd make little sails, like they looked like boats, you know, and we'd have like little green... Yeah, you know, and she loves it. She's obsessed with it now. I told my mom, I said, I think I've created like a monster here, because she woke me up on Friday morning. She's like, the Little Mermaid's out. So when I get home from school, you know, we need to have our, and I'm like, I didn't go shopping. Like, I'm not prepared, but it has become a tradition for us. And that's not something I would have done before, but it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, throwing a Stouffer's thing in the oven and making a little sail to make it a pizza boat for Peter Pan. You know, it's simple, but it means a lot to her. And it's just creating those new traditions. And that's exciting and fun. And that's something she's going to remember forever. And even though she's going to remember it as fun, I'm going to remember it as adapting and accommodating to a really garbage situation. But it's special now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This reminds me of a podcast I was listening. The podcast was more about relationships, but the woman on the podcast was expressing all these horrible things that have happened, traumatizing things that have happened in relationships. And the podcast host said to her, I want you to change your mindset to think you are now qualified. These things have made you qualified to bring about this different purpose in your life, to do that fun activity on a Friday night that you probably wouldn't have done. Instead, you might have gone out to a restaurant or something, you know, or to share your story on Instagram and reach people that are going through similar situations like you. I thought that was such a good perspective. Like, yes, all these things, terrible things have happened, but guess what? I'm qualified now. I'm learning from them. I'm becoming the woman that I want to be. I am reaching other people. I'm helping other people. This is what my purpose is. This is what I'm called to do. The Dizzy Cook's a great example of that, how her life completely shifted. And you know, she's on the side of it that you're also approaching and in the midst of, where you know your body, you know your triggers, you know how to cope, you can help others. And I think that's such a really beautiful thing. And remember, I told you I wanted to come back to something in your healing pie.
I have it written down.
I just remembered, but it has to do with this. And you had written positive affirmations without giving the dizziness any recognition. Can you touch on that? It's along these lines, but dive a little bit deeper into that.
Yeah, I heard this on a YouTube video when I first was experiencing symptoms. And I want to say the reason I ended up here is because I was in Facebook groups where there was a lot of negativity and a lot of, it was just causing anxiety and furthering the trauma. Sometimes I feel like people are just looking for answers. Sometimes I feel like people don't really want help. They just want to vocalize how they feel. And I needed to get away from that. So I found a YouTube channel. It's called Rebalance Your Life Now. She is the sweetest lady. And she is the one that taught me this. And you're creating positive affirmations that give no headspace to even the word dizzy. So the ones I created for myself were, or still are, I still use them. I am stable. I am steady. I am healing. I am healthy. Period. I don't say I'm not dizzy, because you're giving your brain that space that you're even acknowledging it exists. I'm not acknowledging it. Like, you serve no purpose to me here. You're done. So, you know, I use those affirmations all the time. I was in a Ray-Ban store getting my sunglasses fixed, and I started getting dizzy, and I looked like an absolute insane. Like, I looked like I escaped the insane asylum, because I'm standing there in the store saying, I am stable, I am steady, I am healing, I am healthy. And they're all like, this lady's escaped from 5150, you know? So, yeah, don't give that any space in your brain, in your vocabulary.
I love that. And, you know, just as Abby had mentioned, you are qualified at this point in time to give tips of to people who are going through this, that are listening, they're like, what has she done? So could you list off some of your top tips? These are the gold nuggets of our episode that you're going to give people as to what they should do throughout their vestibular journey, things to keep in mind, or things that you can recommend. Like, what are the things that you have found that work the best for you throughout your journey?
I would stay away from the negative social medias. If it's causing you anxiety, if it's causing you more stress, delete it, mute it. I even tell that on my platforms, hey, if you got to mute me for a while, I take no offense to that. See you in a couple months. It's fine. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it's all rainbows and unicorns over here and act like I've got it together, because I don't. I'm a hot mess. And I'll tell you what, my first few regressions were crippling, because you start to think that you're feeling better and then you regress and you crumble thinking I'm starting all over again. So stay off the Facebooks. Accept the fact that you are going to have regressions, and that is okay, and it is normal, and it's going to get better again. It's just a little bit of a blip that you've got to keep pushing through. I wish somebody would have told me that, because I didn't know that I should expect that. And when it happened, it was just absolutely emotionally, you know, oh my gosh, it was awful. You have a choice to make, you know. I laugh. I make jokes about it. I want people to laugh about it, because, you know, being in a negative headspace for me isn't going to make anything better. So if you come to my page and you get a laugh, then, you know, hey, that's worth it. Laugh about it, you know, because none of us are going to make it out of this alive, right? Like, in general. So, you know, you may as well laugh while you're here, whether you're dizzy or not. My faith has been a huge piece of this. Even starting my platform at the beginning, I kept feeling this pull to start sharing my story. And I'm overall a private person. And I kept thinking, I'm not putting this on TikTok. Like, this is weird. People I know are going to see it and they're going to be like, ah, she thinks she's like an influencer. You know, And then I just was like, it just wouldn't, it was a nagging feeling that just wouldn't go away. And I do believe that that was my faith being like, people need to see this. People need to know that you're okay. And people need to laugh about it and not be sucked into that negative space. Helping others navigate their journey has helped me as well. I will say, I'm going to put a disclaimer. There is a place in your journey where you're able to do that because it takes a lot of energy from your healing to help other people. And I realized that very quickly once I started my platforms that people were seeking help. And while I enjoyed because I was so lost, you know, 13 doctors in 13 weeks, like I was so lost that I wanted to make sure that nobody else had to go through what I went through. But it was very draining at first. So I mute my platforms during the day when I'm, you know, I can't. And then I kind of catch up on messages when I can, knowing that boundary when you're ready to help other people. And it might just be a small group on like the Vita website that has like the support groups, you know, or it might be a platform that's on a social media. But helping other people, I think, has given me a lot of purpose and helped my healing journey as well. This sounds kind of silly, but when I was in the really darkest place, I removed all negativity from my life. That meant my beloved true crime podcasts. That meant consuming other people's content about dizziness or whatever. I got rid of all of my sad, you know, podcasts, and I watched a lot of Magnolias or whatever it's called on Netflix. Listened to a lot of happy podcasts, listened to a lot of comedy. I got rid of all of that negativity because I just had to fill my brain with as much, you know, happiness, rainbow, glitter, like all the good stuff, and just leave all the negativity behind until I was in a better headspace to deal with that because it was just too heavy. So stay off the Facebooks, help people if you can, find humor in the situation, get rid of the negativity, and know that you're going to have regressions and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, well, I am positive that this talk today is helping other people who listen to this. So we thank you so much, Christine, for coming on our show. Audience, again, give her a follow. Show her some love. It's That Dizzy Girl with 3 Z's. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. She, again, is just so relatable. She keeps it real. She's funny. You're going to get a good laugh. She should probably be a comedian. Maybe that's in her next life. I don't know. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And audience, as always, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
The information on this podcast is not intended to replace the care provided by your qualified health professional or to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on Talk Dizzy to Me. Please contact us at Balancing Act Rehab if you think you could benefit from vestibular therapy.